Hey everyone, big news. Up Next in Commerce is now available for sponsorship. If you love this show and you or maybe your company or someone in your network that you know may want to reach an audience of supremely smart e-commerce leaders, then reach out to me at stephanie@mission.org and I'll give you all the juicy details around what our strategic partnerships look like. Email me at stephanie@mission.org and let's chat. Welcome to Up Next in Commerce, the show that takes you to the front lines of what's happening in digital, retail, and beyond, with conversations from fast-growing startups to the Fortune 500 and everything in between. You'll get a glimpse into what's next. I'm your host, Stephanie Postles, the co-founder and CEO of Mission.org, and I'll be your guide through all the trends, innovations, and hot topics in the world of commerce. What are business leaders thinking about when they aren't winning at business? Family, travel, the latest TV show? Yes, and maybe. But how about quirky business opportunities or little discussed financial trends or maybe even plant medicine benefits and alternative wellness? Mission Daily is back, baby, and our flagship podcast is better than ever. Mission Daily is the podcast for the business builder, the thoughtful marketer, the team manager, the blue-collar worker looking for new ways to think about life, finances, and health. This is for the people who want to break the status quo and laugh a little or a lot along the way. Join me, Stephanie Postles, and my co-host, Albert Chow, as we address the subjects, thoughts, and trends that business leaders think about but don't often talk about. Tune into Mission Daily wherever you listen to your podcasts. See you there. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Up Next in Commerce. Here with me today is Erwin Gunawan, the founder and CEO of Irwin's, the first brand to make salted egg potato, cassava, and salmon skin chips. It's hugely popular overseas, and now it's taking America by storm. I've even seen it in Costco. Erwin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. I'm very awake where I know you're in Singapore and it's your bedtime right now. So I think we can make this work though. I'll bring the energy and then you can get excited for bedtime after this. How's that sound?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So I was looking through, you know, your company, of course, and it's a super interesting background. I have not talked to any companies like this. And so I want to hear a bit about the start to Irwin's snack brand. Tell me a bit about your restaurant days so we can give our listeners and viewers a bit of context of, you know, where you were and where you are today.
Okay, so we make, we are out of Singapore. We are a food company and we make the snacks. We make the salted egg fish, salmon skin and salted egg potato chips. And if you're wondering what the hell it is, because it's quite a unique food items, right? It's something quite uniquely Asian. So we make our products in Singapore, of course. And now salted egg has become like quite a mainstream thing here. It's not always been so. I think we were kind of the catalyst of the salted egg becoming a thing in Singapore. And also the salmon skin, you know, as a snacks. If you're wondering, like, you know, salmon skin, is it like you have been consuming it in Singapore for a long time? No, the answer is no. It's also something that we have kind of innovated in the past 7 years. And now it's coming really common.
Yeah. I mean, so what I think is so interesting about your product is seeing it here. I have seen it in the markets, especially the Asian markets here. And I saw that you guys are also in Costco. But I want to hear about the founding story of where this came from. Because, you know, from the outside, you see this product and you're like, oh, yeah, I can see why it's resonating here in the US. I can see why people like this. But I want to actually hear how this company even got started.
So it actually started, you know, I started my company about 15 years back. So in 2007, I just got graduated from Australia, came back to Singapore because that's where my family lived. I was originally born in Indonesia, but I've lived now more than half my life in Singapore. So when I got back, I've always kind of dreamt of doing my own restaurant, you know, back in my university days. So when I go back to Singapore, I opened my first restaurant. It's an Indonesian restaurant. And then the second year, I opened this restaurant called Irwin's, and we are serving Singaporean seafood, basically. Mm-hmm. So if you know about Singapore food, we are known for selling crabs, and the mm-hmm. most famous being chili crab.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like the sister of it. We have chili crab, black pepper crab, and we have the salted egg crab. So my restaurant, right, it's called Irwin's, and it was famous for the salted egg crab. Long story short, after like about 3 years of doing business in the Orchard Road, the main promenade, we got kind of like, you know, the business was booming and it was good and all these things. And then suddenly one day, because I was naive, we got kicked out from the restaurant by the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
So because he was doing good. That's the funny thing. He was doing well and we got kicked out. And the landlord, long story short, they brought in his own concept, which is basically a copy of mine. So he's trying to make his own quick buck.
How'd it do? Did it do well?
Yeah, after 3 years, they closed down.
That's karma. That's the universe coming back, being like, can't do that.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I learned my lesson there. You know, you gotta be careful about contracts and all that. You know, these things happen, and when you don't own your own space, you know, there's always a risk of that happening. But anyway, we moved. We finally moved to another location, and I made a big mistake in assuming that, you know, different locations the restaurant can do equally well. So this was in the neighborhood area, and we were selling seafood. So in the neighborhood area, people are generally more cost conscious and they don't eat seafood, you know, like every single week, right? So the business was really bad in that neighborhood location. So I, as generally with business owners, when the going gets tough, the creative juices start to boil and start to come alive. So I was experimenting with a lot of things, right? I was doing buffet and all these things. Anyway, long story short, one of the things that, you know, that was really smart that we got to do is that we said to ourselves, you know, you got to be focused on what we are really good at. And basically, like every single one of our customers come to our restaurant to eat the salted egg crab. So I talked to my chefs, like I told them, why don't we try to make this salted egg into like more dishes, not just a crab, right? So I asked him to make like 10 dishes out of this salted egg. You know, you name it, like salted egg fried rice, salted egg noodles, things like that, right? Salted egg chicken. And two of the items, which is the salted egg salmon skin, salted egg potato chips, was in the menu. So it was actually a product that we make for the restaurant, like it's in the menu. But then a lot of our customers would actually be purchasing their product to bring it home.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that kind of like a habit start to form. So I said to myself, you know, why do I have to burden my chefs to prepare these items every single time the customers order it? What I did was I told them, you know, let's close up the restaurant in the morning and prepare those snacks in the morning. Mm-hmm. And we will put it in the tub so that when the customers come in the evening, they buy it, it's ready for them to pick up.
Smart.
So that's what happened. And I start seeing like really a lot of people really love this product, and they started to come just to buy that tubs of salmon skin and potato chips. And I thought to myself, you know, this is actually a really good opportunity, because, you know, suddenly this thing I can sell, I'm not bounded by location anymore. Like I don't have to sell it in my restaurant. I can sell it anywhere. So that's what we did. You know, I started doing pop-ups in places. I started to sell them in the online, you know, we make a website, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we start selling them online, D2C model, you know, we'll just deliver to customers. And that's how actually the snack space started. So we started with the one pop-up, which was in the office area. And it got really viral in the office area because literally the office ladies, they love it and they share to their friends. And that's how the snacks become really viral in the office. I remember because me and my brother, we will take turns to actually man the store, the pop-up, right? And by the way, it's like a really small pop-up. We would open at 11. The queue for the products will start at 10 o'clock.
Wow.
And we will run out by 12 o'clock.
That's when you know you've got something good. That's great.
yeah. So.
And this was when you were selling it in like plastic tubes, right? Is that the time frame?
You know, it's plastic tub. Plastic tub.
Yeah, tubes. Yeah, which I was reading, you know, you had a quote around how many entrepreneurs focus on making things look nice from the start, and how you had maybe got caught up previously making things look nice instead of just focusing on the product. And yeah, I'd love to hear, you know, lessons that maybe you use today from how you originally sold things in plastic tubes.
This is exactly what MVP is, like my experience, right? Because it really is to be honest, like a terrible top.
Yeah.
It doesn't give any protection to the product. And after a few days of selling, like from its being produced to this, to selling, you will start to see some oil oil on the top as well. Mm-hmm. So it is not a great experience, I would say.
Yeah.
But people, you know, because the product itself is so new, it's so good, like people overlook all that, you know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So this is like that we know that this is like a really differentiated product, and the MVP works. So when we decided to scale it up, it was going to be like, we're going to improve the packaging.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked with some university. We created the proper packaging for it, right? So when you talk about the snacks, everyone does this. They use an aluminum pouch,
mm-hmm.
and we would inject in the nitrogen and remove out the oxygen, remove out all the moisture, so the product can last longer.
Mm-hmm.
So we went from the top being a 1 month shelf life product to the eventually the aluminum pouch that has a 1 year, you know, shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
And that really opened up a whole new ball game for us, because previously people will just buy it, you know, they will just buy it within Singapore, but they couldn't bring it back home. I mean, overseas, you know, for example, mm-hmm. to Indonesia and things like that. But when you have a 1 year shelf life product, then suddenly like everyone can buy it, like even to the US,
yeah,
people will buy it, you know. So it really, there was one of the thing that we did to expand the popularity of the product.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, now when I look around, you seem to be everywhere in the US, like you're definitely expanding what looks like quickly. How did you get those relationships? And like, yeah, how did you get your foot in the door at Costco, at, you know, a lot of the Asian markets? I think it's called like 99 Market, maybe. I mean, I've gone to them, but like, how did you get your foot in the door at all these places?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to consider ourselves like really lucky.
Okay.
I kind of wanted to tell you like what differentiates our product compared to the, you know, our snacks, right? And what makes it different is that the way we actually produce it, even in our factory today, is exactly the way we were doing it in the restaurant, which is like doing, the chef will be cooking them, right? And mixing them. And they will use the natural ingredients such as like curry leaves and chilies. So until today, you will not, if you go to our factory, you will not find, you know, huge automated machineries. What you will find is like we have segments in our factory, we have rooms, and each room is doing preparations, you know, like cutting the chilies, and then we'll have the mixing, the all these ingredients in the mixing room. And we have chefs actually doing the cooking for the snacks. So in a way, you might think like it's not the most efficient way of doing things, but it's also like we believe like the way we process it creates the best quality product, you know, and I hope like our customers, when they try it, can really tell the difference. So just a bit of a story about like, you know, what really differentiates our products compared to the market. When we first start selling in the US, people already know about the product. And, you know, your next question might be like, how do people actually know about this product?
Yeah.
Well, it's we were strategically locating our stores in Singapore, and I was very surprised as well, like how many Americans would travel to Singapore for business or for holiday.
Yeah.
And they will bring back our products.
Got it. Okay.
Because our products were, I mean, we were very visible. You know, you can find us in the stores, in the main malls. You can find us in the airports. So it was just a perfect product to bring back from Singapore. It reminds them of Singapore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people will bring back in bags, basically. And they will share it to their friends. And that happened, you know, for 3 years between, I guess, 2017 to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually when we started talking to people in 2019 in the US, to our surprise, like everybody knows about the product already.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not that difficult to, right, to try to convince the distributors, like, you know, this is a product I can sell in the US.
Mm-hmm.
Because people in the, especially the Asian American community, already knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say like we got really lucky. We got really lucky as well. We got connected with some really influential people in the US. We talked about our first partner was Bopomofo Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
The guys behind them are actually behind the Wong Fu production.
Okay.
They are YouTube stars.
Yep.
So, and they have like a big reach within the Asian American community. And they we were able to partner with them to sell them through their channels. And they introduced, you know, I guess it was a really good collaboration because people in the community knows about Airvents launching in the US after that.
That's great. Okay, so you're tapping into influencers. You have people like Cardi B talking about you. I see you have some like people everywhere of different flavors talking about this company, which is pretty impressive. Like, how excited were you when you start seeing celebrities talking about your product organically?
I remember like waking up in the morning and suddenly people start messaging us like, hey, Cardi B is talking about the product. And eventually, like the crazy thing is like in Singapore, that actually make the news in Singapore.
Wow.
Like in the like news, that's, news, you know.
That's great.
So you can imagine like how far-fetched, how far the celebrities influence, like people like Cardi B in the world. Like we listen to the music, to the American music and all these things, right? Mm-hmm. So I was very surprised. And this was something very interesting as well. The story is that actually Cardi B was going to H Mart or Ranch 99, one of them. Mm-hmm. She was trying to try new Asian products. And okay. She asked her fans, like, you know, can you recommend me some new products to try? And like a lot of people said, you know, they tried the salted salmon skin. And apparently she loved it.
Oh,
so she did a tweet for us.
There's a stereotype of the average American worker whose life goes something like this. Go to work, come home, consume some kind of entertainment, go to sleep, lather, rinse, repeat. If you're listening to this ad, then I know that that life does not resonate with you. For the truly disruptive business leader, work doesn't stay at the office, and unwinding doesn't mean watching TV at night every single night. This is why we've created Mission Daily, a podcast that discusses the trends, habits, and ideas that thoughtful business people are contemplating every day. From quirky business opportunities to interesting investment ideas to the latest research in health and exercise and alternative medicine and maybe even plant medicine. Who knows where we're going to go, but Mission Daily covers it all. We're releasing new episodes every weekday. So join me, Stephanie Postles, and my co-host Albert Chow as we discuss the subjects, thoughts, and trends that business leaders think about but don't talk about publicly, that is. Break the status quo. Tune into Mission Daily wherever you listen to your podcasts. See you there. Have you had to transform the product when bringing it into the US market? Because of course my mind is going to like, there seems to be so many opportunities, maybe in Singapore. And when I went to Japan, I wanted to come home with like everything that I had there. I wanted to bring it back. But like, do you have to change the product or have you had to change it since bringing it here to the US?
Well, there's an interesting story about that. Like initially when we wanted to go to US, actually there was a big problem because our fish skin that we are selling in Asia is actually not allowed to be brought into the US.
Wait, what is it that you can't bring in?
The dory fish, huh?
You can't bring in the fish that you use for this product. You can't bring it into the US?
Yeah. Yeah, because they are made from dory fish from the Vietnam. Mm-hmm. It's actually for some reasons it's not allowed to be brought into us.
Are they like an invasive fish? What's wrong with these dory fish? I'm thinking about Finding Nemo dory. What's wrong with them? But
so it's not exactly that dory.
Oh.
So this dory fish is called the pangasius fish in Asia, and they are okay. I think there is some history about that dory fish into the US. I think there was a little bit of a protectionism, I would say, because that fish is actually very, very cheap. And this is just my opinion, it might not be true or not, but I think the US is trying to protect its fish industry as well.
Got it.
And that's why that fish is banned. Anyway, so, you know, we tried our best, we couldn't get the product in. So we had to find other ways. So we quickly look for other kind of fish skin that we can use. And we settled on salmon skin. So we spent the next like 6 to 12 months to develop the salmon skin for the US market. And once it's ready, then we started selling. So the first 6 months of our US business, actually, we were just selling our potato chips and cassava chips. So no fish skin at all.
Got it. Did you bring the salmon skin one back to Singapore?
Yeah, and eventually I was selling the salmon skin as well. Mm-hmm. Because it's the flavor and the taste is totally different. The texture is totally different as well. Uh-huh. So it makes sense. Another interesting difference between Asia and US, the tolerance for spiciness.
Mm-hmm.
Is,
yeah.
I find it's different. And when we were presenting it to the Costco, for example, the buyer is like, this is too hot. Mm-hmm. So we had to really tone it down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we are working on at the moment. And that's fine. It's just like, I think because in this part in Asia, you got really exposed to so many different chilies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would eat mala and we would eat sambal from Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
But so we grow up with all these kind of chilies.
Yep.
I think, it's just maybe the U.S. not yet there yet.
No. Yeah, I'm like, I don't even think I tasted my first jalapeno until I was like 12, so.
Okay. But the jalapeno is really spicy though. Yeah, so.
Well, to me, they're really spicy, but maybe not to you. Maybe you'd be like, that's child's play. So do you ever now look around in Singapore and be like, oh, there's so many other things we could introduce to the world and not just keep it here in Singapore? So I feel like you've broken the code. Now you like you know what to do. You know how to get it in front of people. You know how to, you know, yeah. Like I'm sure there's more things that you look around and see that are like that could be a good thing to bring other places.
And that's really look at our generation now and look at our parents' generation. Like we now know what kimchi is.
Mm-hmm.
We know Korean culture. You know, people know people watch Squid Game, for example.
Yep.
And these are the kind of things like Korean foods my mom don't even know when she was growing up. So I think there's a lot of interest in more specialized products, exotic products, some say. And people are much more well-traveled and they bring in all these things. You know, they're very interested in what's available in Singapore, in Indonesia. And we have the heritage of the food culture in this part of the world is quite rich as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we do. Like when you talk about in Asia, our party is basically people eating together in a round table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't drink as much, but we really savor our food.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are eating our dinner, what we talk about is like food.
Mm-hmm.
and what to have what kind of food are we gonna have tomorrow. So yeah, I think we certainly want to bring more of what's available in the Singapore and this part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, bring it over to the US. I think people will be really interested. Yeah.
Yeah. What is your next thing you're eyeing up or like what are some maybe best kept secrets in Singapore where you're like, when the world finds out, this is going to be popular?
So we are still working in our salted egg sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where the origin of our, you know, in our restaurant, we were using the sauce to make the crab. So like the first iteration of the salted egg, actually, people are actually making it for this restaurant dishes, right? So mm-hmm. when we introduce the sauce, hopefully people can use it to make their own dish, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What other things? We want to really introduce a lot of the chilies from this part of the world, like different kind of chilies.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is also like some pretty interesting soy-based snacks made from tempeh, which is from Indonesia.
Yeah.
And we have been looking at that, you know. So I think this is in line with people wanting to get healthier as well. People are more choosy in what they eat, mm-hmm. want to be more plant-based. So there are plenty of these kind of items that we can use, ingredients in Asia that can produce this kind of snacks.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm excited to see what you guys come up with next and yeah, hopefully see it in some of the markets here and Costco and everywhere. So I want to ask, what are you most excited about over the coming year? What are you looking forward to the most?
I'm really excited about collaborations, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, we had one of our biggest collaborations with the noodle brand called Nissin. And they are the originator of instant noodles, right? They're from Japan.
Ah, I thought that was who they were. Okay.
Yeah. So they have this very popular product, which is the cup noodles, which is everywhere.
Yeah.
So they approached us in Singapore because they wanted to create the soft egg noodles. It was really exciting, you know. So over the past 1.5 years, we were developing these noodles, and we're just now selling in Singapore, Thailand, and Hong Kong. But it's really super successful, and just another kind of category that we are introducing our soft egg in. Mm-hmm. But the most exciting thing is like to be able to work with these guys, because you know, at the end of the day, we are still a small company, growing company. Mm-hmm. And to be able to work with these guys and to actually watch how they develop their products, you know, how efficient they are, how they're managing their projects. Mm-hmm. We are learning so much, you know, from these collaborations. So after that, there are plenty of opportunities that comes to our plate in terms of people wanting to work with us. Mm-hmm. And that is like... very exciting, and like opens up a lot of new ideas. Mm-hmm. And we are also talking to some people in the US to create, you know, something that is can be localized for the US market. So this is something really exciting to me. Like, for example, another example, right? So this t-shirt I'm wearing here is mm-hmm. is made by mm-hmm. Cotton On.
It looks like it's like peanuts or lima beans. Oh, wait, potato chips. I could only see the first little part. I couldn't see the bottom. Got it. Okay. He has an image of potato chips on his shirt. Okay. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So this is made in collaboration with Cotton On. So Cotton On mm-hmm. is the clothing company out of Australia. Mm-hmm. They also have shops, I think, in the US.
Yeah, they're in the malls .
And they approached us because we have these cute characters and all that. They wanted to, again, localize their clothes for the Singapore mm-hmm. market. And we happen to be quite well known in Southeast Asia. So not just in Singapore, but in some other countries as well. Mm-hmm. Again, like, you know, this is something really creative and something I've always dreamed of doing all these creative things. It's really, really fun to do.
Yeah. You know, you've taken off when you're being asked to be put on clothing and partnering with the largest like instant noodle company out there. So
yeah, and I mean, I was thinking last time, like how much can I push this to become like our characters that we develop? There's a whole world of stories behind it as well. Mm-hmm. Like, can we actually make it into something that we can license in the future? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, awesome story. I can't wait to see where you guys head and the growth. And yeah, congratulations on all the success so far.
Thank you so much.
Until next time, where can people learn more about Irwin's and maybe even try out some of the products?
I mean, people can find us pretty much in all the H Marts and Range 99 there are. We are in selected stores in Costco, not all of them, but mostly in LA and San Francisco and New York, you can find our products. Mm-hmm. We are currently working to be able to distribute our products in Albertsons as well. So, mm-hmm. so we're in contact with them. So we want to go to the mainstream. That will be our next challenge in the US, I think, to introduce our products to more of a mainstream audience. So yeah, maybe you can give me some advice how to do that.
I'll do my best. We'll follow up after this and I'll give you my ideas. I have lots of ideas, many of which I don't know should be even listen to, but I'm here for it.
Okay. I was reading that you worked in Google before. Mm-hmm. And do you guys is this something like snacks, things like this that you guys would share in the campus?
You definitely could reach out to some of their distributors there, because I worked in the Bay Area and in Palo Alto and up in the San Francisco office, and these snacks would do really well in that area. So, hey, it's worth a shot. Cold emailing them and being like, I hear this will do well here. And, you know, who can I talk to about getting the snacks on campus? And they look for brands that aren't mainstream. Like, they don't want, you know, the largest brands who own the whole market.
Health conscious are you guys choosing your snacks?
Pretty darn health conscious. Yeah. I would say, especially in that area, you would want to, make sure there's no MSGs and things like that in the product. They're pretty health conscious.
Well, our salmon skin is full of protein and, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, there you go.
Omega-3. So instead of carbs, this is protein. This is better, right? Yeah.
There you go. There's your pitch. You already got it. All right. Well, thank you, Erwin. This was great. Hey, listeners. Thanks for tuning into this episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. It helps spread the word, and I would greatly appreciate it. See you next time. Thank you for checking out another epic hour of business insights and inspiration on the Up Next in Commerce podcast. If you like what you've heard and you're interested in partnering with us to bring your brand to a growing audience of e-commerce experts, reach out to me at stephanie@mission.org to get the conversation started.